Hello, Bruce and I are from HMTRI, and we hold these PLC professional learning community calls every 2 weeks. Our next one will be on the 18th of February, and it's all about job training, the environmental job training program, primarily with EPA. We work with EPA. We're not EPA, but we've worked with them since the beginning of the program, and our basic mission is to help the communities start and maintain and maximize their programs, whether it's with EPA funding or not. And those of you who may be on the call who may have gotten a notice from this, my email address to get on the PLC list, the Professional Learning Community list, is msenu@aol.com. If you get pre- and post-session notes from me, you're on the PLC list. You may have gotten it from the listserv, and if you want to get the post-session notes, you'll want to get on our PLC list, and all you have to do is email me your contact information, msenew@aol.com, mikesenu@aol.com, and I'll put you on the PLC list. We keep two lists. One is for anyone interested in job training, and then we have our professional learning community, and this group, anyone who belongs to this group, when we have our annual meeting, they can come to that in Washington. Well, then there's no cost or obligation. Whenever you have time, every other Wednesday, you could join in the conversations, and we talk about environmental job training. And if you have a program, we like our existing grantees to join in and be mentors. And we have new people who are thinking of joining programs or want to learn more about the programs. And those that have grant programs, we share ideas, what it's involved in implementing one of these programs and funding opportunities and just open discussion. So up until this point, on this cycle, we've done 12 cycles every other Wednesday. Up until this point on this cycle, we've been talking about the federal funding, the Environmental Workforce Development and Job Training grants that were due yesterday. We will continue our PLCs focusing on particular job training programs and all of the issues that make up a good job training program, that make them sustainable, make them better, funding opportunities, and that type of thing. So stay tuned, and every other Wednesday, and we just have this, we limit these to, they're short discussions, 30 minutes, and to talk about different aspects of this. So we always start these off, and today we're going to talk to the City of Detroit, who last year at this time were where many of you were yesterday, submitting their job training program proposal, and they've gone through that first cycle of job training and just getting their program started. So we're going to talk to them in a little while, but we always start out with GLO and telling us about any news from Washington, anything that they may want to communicate, GLO.
Actually, I didn't talk to them today. I talked to them yesterday, and yesterday, of course, was the deadline for the job training proposals, and they had asked me to put that announcement on the listserv reminding everybody that the deadline was last night at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, and I know that they're just incredibly busy out there now accepting all of these proposals. So really, that was the only thing that I had, and today, since the deadline has passed, that's not even pertinent information anymore. So really nothing, but, you know, they always want me to remind people to, you know, log into Acres, report your numbers, report success stories, all that kind of thing. So I'm just going to assume that they're going to want me to send everybody a reminder on that. And really, that's all I have today.
Okay. For those who did submit proposals, we'll just go over the schedule, what you can expect from EPA. If you didn't qualify, that first part of that grant proposal was, do you qualify for one of these grants? In 15 days, they have to notify you that, yes, you're going to go on to the ranking criteria, or you, unfortunately, for one reason or another, you didn't qualify. That'll end up if you don't get a notice by the end of February, you're in the competition in terms of that proposal. And this is for, this will apply next year and the year after. This is the way they run this program. The awards will be made in about April. April could be May. It's usually that long wait. And with our experience has shown it tends to be later than sooner. It depends on their workload and what other grants they're reviewing, because these people are working on other types of grants. But in that April-May period is when they'll make the awards, and you'll be contacted by email. It'll probably be the person who submitted the grant. GLOW isn't it's usually the person who's on the grant and their contact information. Isn't that correct?
Right, yeah. Right. It's the person who there's a main contact that's always listed on the cover sheet. That's the person that would be contacted.
Right. And so if they're going to be on an extended vacation or out of town, and it's April, May, you may want to get in touch with your regional rep just in case. But when you get the award in May, it's not all over. You have this period of work plans and finalization of paperwork, and that could take June and July, and they'll come back to you. And now this year, because we're going through grants.gov, a lot of this will be accelerated, but you'll be having to submit work plans and all your final paperwork to make sure everything's in order. You will have gotten the grant, but just dotting the I's, crossing the T's. And then, of course, the funding availability, when you could start writing checks, usually occurs in August, September period. The money has to be gone by the end of the federal fiscal year, end of August, September. So you'll be on your way. And for those that are trying to do some planning and very optimistic, you could spend money up to 90 days before the funds are available. So that's 3 months. So once you're given the awards, you could actually start spending money. And we actually have our annual grantee meeting, which all PLC members are invited to, and all the grantees are asked to come. And that's going to be in August, right, GLOW? August,
right.
18th?
Yes, 18 and 19.
Right. So,
Mike,
yes.
This is Kathleen. Make sure, though, when you tell them about the 90 days pre-award gratis period, that it has to be on things that are listed in the work plan that they submitted with their proposal. It cannot be on activities outside of what they proposed in their proposal.
Very good. And a lot of the awardees will probably be starting to work on their fall programs. In fact, that's something that when we talk to Detroit, how they did theirs, you'll probably want to get started on planning and setting up your first cycle of training. So those are all the things to keep in mind. One quick note, too, is it refers to Washington. The president submitted his budget for FY16 this next year. It doesn't mean that that's what's going to be the final budget. It depends on Congress. But we're very optimistic in the Brownfields and Environmental Workforce Development Program, because EPA is really supporting it, and it shows in the budget. They've fully funded the assessment and cleanup projects. They're asking for $110 million for Brownfields for 151 assessment projects. 64 direct grants for cleanup to clean up about 142 sites, which is really good for our job training grantees. And I'm really happy to see they asked for $3.5 million for environmental workforce development and job training. So with the blessing of Congress, and hopefully this will not be a controversial program because there's a lot of people support it, this part of the budget will proceed. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully we'll be able to have recompetition next year. And one of the things that I always want to suggest to grantees is if for some reason you don't qualify or you are rejected, next year is another year. And come November, December, there'll be another request for RFPs. And, of course, you have to remember, the best programs and the ones that usually make it will start now. And that's why we're continuing these PLCs. Now is the time to start planning for your next job training grant proposal, because it takes that long to set up your partners, to establish your friends and other community projects that are going on, and deciding whether you want to proceed. So you can't do this in the last week of your proposals before they're due. You have to do them, start now, and take your time. And assume that this is going to go whether or not you get accepted this year or next year or the year after. And sometimes it takes one or two cycles. And Kathleen, who is a regional coordinator, we always ask people to contact their regional coordinators if you're rejected, or even if you're accepted, both ways, to talk to them and develop a relationship with them, particularly if you don't get accepted, to get back in touch with them and say, we really want this program. And what do we need to do to make this a better program, better proposal? And certainly part of it's the PLCs, but there are other things in terms of contacts, and they may be able to refer some additional resources for you to look at. So with that, we wanted this session to talk about what happens after that grant's submitted. And we're really fortunate to have Lorena on the line, City of Detroit. And we all know about Detroit, not only because of the snow, but all of the issues that are going on. So, Lorena, could you tell us about what happened when you got the good news and you found out you had this program in thrown in your lap, and how you proceeded?
Sure. I also want to introduce Jessica Carr. She's on the line too, and she'll be chiming in here and there throughout the conversation that we're going to have. And Jessica is with Detroit Employment Solutions Corporation, and they're actually our partner in this grant. So today I'm going to talk about our program in general, just so you get an overview of what it is and what to expect once you get your proposal, your award letter, and what happened after that, and how our first year went, and some of the positives and problems encountered. So just a little bit about our program. The name of our program is the Detroit Environmental Employment Program, DEEP. And so our plan is to train 20 participants in HAZWOPR training, asbestos abatement, lead abatement, CPR, National Incident Management System, also known as NIMS, and job readiness training through DESC. And we chose to those trainings because of the huge demolition initiative that's going on throughout the city of Detroit right now. Currently, we have over $100 million to demolish over 4,000 structures, residential and commercial. And with that, there are a lot of jobs that are going to be created and need to be filled. So we thought that was the best market to train our participants. So we'll have a total of 60 participants that will be trained. And some of the funding that's funding those demos are actually from HUD, NSP2, NSP3, CDBG, and the hardest hit funds. So we originally planned to hold 3 trainings, which consisted of 20 groups of participants each, for the total of 60, spread out throughout the 2 years. And then, of course, the third year would just be for placement and tracking of those participants. That's just briefly a synopsis of the program, and I'm going to hand it over to Jessica to just talk about the portion that DEC will be involved in with actually getting the participants qualified, and a little bit about DESC themselves.
Okay. Hello, everyone. So, again, my name is Jessica Carr. I'm with Detroit Employment Solutions Corporation. We are the implementers of the WIA, Workforce Investment Act. So we train job seekers. We get them tested, assessed. We do resume prep, do job search assistance. We offer workshops, the resource room, a whole plethora of services to get job seekers employed. So to Lorena's point, so for this grant, we're really going to be focusing on the recruitment getting the individuals connected to the training providers, getting them trained, placement, and follow-up. So for us, our recruitment process, basically, we have 3 one-stop centers in Detroit, one on the east side of Detroit, the west side, and then one in the northwest side of Detroit. So those are trying to our penetration points into the neighborhoods. So we get, in a year, about 40,000 customers walk through our door. So that's 40,000 potential people who could be potentially eligible for this particular program. But because that is such a large number, we have another method for narrowing the scope. We have a project right now called District Detroit, in which, like Lorena said, there's so much happening in the city. There's demolition, there's construction, there's going to be a whole new arena in the city of Detroit for the hockey stadium. So with that District Detroit, we have set up on our website avenue for people who are interested in any skilled trade. Basically, if you have any interest in skilled trade, asbestos, lead abatement, whatever that interest may be. So that way we can kind of narrow down the focus, because everyone who comes to the door may not want to do a skilled trade because it is a lot of labor-intensive work. So out of the 40,000, we have a pool of about 6,000 people who have expressed interest. So that's the list that we're going to pull people from. So we hold what's called recruitment events. So we'll contact all of those individuals, ask them, hey, you know, you expressed interest in skilled trades, would you be interested in coming into a recruitment event? From there, we have an orientation. We give them information about the EPA grant, DEEP, letting them know what's involved in that, what to expect. If they're interested, then we move them on to an assessment. For our assessment, we hope that they will achieve at least a fifth grade math and reading score. If for some reason someone does not meet that fifth grade threshold, we do remediation so that no one's ever turned away. So we do try to remediate them so that they get to that math and reading threshold. From there, once they pass that math and reading, do a drug screen, and then we connect them on to training. So that's the recruitment part of it. From there, we do follow up while they're in training, making sure that everything is going okay, they have everything they need. If they need transportation to and from the training provider, we can help with that. If they need tools or boots or any work gear, we can help with that as well. Once they complete the training portion, that's approximately about 4 weeks long or so, then we can move into the placement part. So we do reach out to, we have a business service division that reaches out to different employers, and we match them directly to the employer. So that can be either we invite the employer to our location to do on-site interview, or we can make referrals out to the referrals to the employer. So we give them a list of candidates who meet the criteria, meet their job description. We send them off for an interview. But before we do that, we do some mock interviews. We do job readiness. So they do get all that information, how to be punctual, how to pass the interview, what to say, what not to say, how to dress, how to come up prepared. We do resume assistance so that when we do send them off, they are really prepared to get a job. So that's kind of the long and short of it, of what we do here.
Okay, thanks, Jessica. And so that's just the overview of our program and how it works for DEEP. So now where do we go from here? What to expect? So once you are awarded your grant, you're actually going to receive an award letter from the EPA letting you know that you were awarded. Now, I found that when we received a notice via email, and there was a hard copy that was mailed as well. When you were filling out your grant, you may have noticed in your cover letter that there was a project program director and there was also a chief executive. So our award letter actually went to the chief executive, which is the mayor of the city of Detroit, Michael Duggan. So we didn't get the official award letter until we requested it after that, and we found out, okay, it went there. So you may want to follow up once you get your notice via email that with your chief executive as well to make sure that you get that copy. You may need that later on when going through your procurement process or your approvals to accept the grant through your legislative body.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Who got the email?
The program director received the email.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Also, there is the SAM system, which is through EPA, that you would have to register in. And you need that in order to, one, accept the grant, get your cooperative agreement, and as well as to receive payments from the EPA. And that was pretty new to us. We've received several environmental grants in the past. And, again, I guess we're the Building Safety, Engineering, and Environmental Department. And representing the Environmental Affairs Department, Division, I'm sorry. And so we typically apply for environmental assessment and cleanup grants. So this is actually our first job training grant. And so the SAMS was a little new to us, which I believe it might have just been implemented within the last year or two through the EPA. And that was something that was a last-minute thing that we had to do, but I just wanted to make a note of that for all new grantees to make sure that you register in the SAM system. It's not something that is quick. It's about a two-week process, if not longer. And then also, you will be assigned a project officer from the EPA, and it's very important that you work closely with your project officer because they will provide you with a lot of pertinent information to help you keep in line and on important deadlines as well. And then you will be required to submit a work plan. The work plan pretty much mirrors your grant proposal. However, it's a lot more detailed than what's in the grant proposal. So it was a very good point that you made with starting to plan your grant or your program now, because when you get to the point of the work plan, it's a lot more specific than what you put in your grant. You're going to need more tangible items, more detailed timelines on when things are going to be completed, more details about your program overall. So that was just, it's great to have the work plan because it keeps you on task before you start and gets you thinking of exactly what you need to do to make sure that your program is successful. But if you have all or most of those things in place in the beginning, it'll make it a lot easier to complete. And then that work plan will be approved by the EPA. With our work plan, we did have a suggestion from our PO officer to add lead abatement in addition to asbestos abatement in our program. And so we have added that. There will be more asbestos training as opposed to lead abatement training based on the need of the employers who will be hiring our graduates. So following that, what happened next? Once you get your award letter and your cooperative agreement and your work plan approved, we went through our contract procurement process. And so, again, we partner with DESC, and we also contracted them for certain things as well to help implement the program and the tracking of the program, as well as several other things. Did you want to touch on any of the other items, Jessica?
I can talk a little bit about how we track. So I think that's one of a big part of the grant too, because after they get trained, we got to know what happens to them. So we use a few different systems. We use our one-stop management information system, which is a statewide system. And then we also use Salesforce and G-Stars. Again, those are both customer databases that kind of allows you to track and put placement information in there, as well as all the times you contact the individual. So it's a really good case management tool. We can generate reports and all type of useful things to kind of help us manage our data. But that's how we track. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. And again, DESC used to be the City of Detroit's Workforce Development Department. So they know the ins and outs of the city, how things operate, and they're doing what they used to do when they were part of the city. So it only made sense for us to partner with them. And then in addition, there was no one else within the Metro Detroit area that provided all the services that they do and that could do what they do for our program. So
following the contractor procurement process, and that may be different for everyone. For example, for the city of Detroit, we had to get approval from city council to contract DESC and any other contractors that would be directly contracted through the city of Detroit. In addition to that, we also had to get approval from city council to actually accept the grant funding. So you may want to check with your legislative body and make sure that you're in contact with them and that you start in advance. As soon as you get your award letter, whatever process that is, try to get that process started. Because I know for us, it took about a couple months to get through the entire process and get everything approved. Luckily, we started early, so by the time we received our cooperative agreement, all the contracts and approvals were in place. I would highly recommend attending the all-grantee meeting that was discussed earlier. That was the first meeting that we attended right after we received our cooperative agreement, and it actually opened our eyes. We had one plan in mind on how we were going to implement our program, but after hearing all the different success stories and the different programs from all the other grantees, it actually opened us up to more ideas and more creative ways to implement the programs, to get employers involved, to get participants involved, and it actually just ramped us up to get ready and hit the ground running. And following that meeting, we started our planning meetings as well, just to how we're going to implement our program, what's the first step, what needs to be done, all those little details that need to be planned out. Jessica and DSC and our staff met and hashed all of those things out. And then we just tried to think about the entire program as a whole. So not only in the beginning do we need to make sure we have our planning meetings, but we need to make sure that we start the conversation with job placement. So from there, we held a meeting with our Detroit Building Authority, who is the authority that's managing the demolition program. They have, well over 20 contractors who are contracted through the city to perform the demolitions on these 4,000 commercial and residential properties throughout Detroit. So it was imperative that we got DBA involved so we can start to reach out to those contractors. And they have a contractor meeting every other week. And so we were afforded the opportunity to present our program at that contractor meeting in front of the contractors. So we explained what the program was. We got them excited about it. We got a lot of positive feedback and interest in hiring participants because with demolishing over 4,000 properties, you can only imagine how many jobs that's creating. And most of those jobs would be, prior to the demo portion, would be the asbestos abatement, lead abatement, and, of course, you have to have your HAZWOPER. So we've had companies come up to us say, hey, we're ready to hire 20 people tomorrow if you can get them trained. And I said, well, we're going to get them trained. So we held a meeting with all those contractors who were interested, and we actually invited them to join our community advisory board. We had that meeting last week, actually, and we just wanted to make sure that we included them in the program and the training. And if it's any needs that they needed, to make sure that we tailored our program to meet those needs. We're not far off from what our program design is as of today, but there were a few additional contractors that mentioned that they, hey, you know, if we can get an asbestos surveyor, we'll be able to hire 2 or 3 people. So out of the 60 people, we're going to train a few of those people to be asbestos surveyors so we can meet that consultant's needs, in addition to the regular training that we have to meet all the other contractors' needs. But for the most part, this is just a great opportunity for this training because there are so many jobs being created in this field through this demo program. And so not only are we excited, but The mayor is also excited as well. Mayor Mike Duggan. We met with the mayor's office recently. The mayor is in the process of preparing for his State of the City address. And he is excited about this program and actually wants, it will be mentioning our EPA grant during his State of the City speech. We met with his office, gave him details about the program, gave talking points, and it's just going to only ramp it up even more. So our thoughts were at that time, hey, the mayor's going to be talking about this. We need to make sure that we inform the employers who plan on, who said they were going to commit to hiring participants from our program. We need to let them know this is something serious. And this is something that would be great for them, too, because the mayor may also mention and invite them to the speech as well, which would give them some additional publicity. So, I mean, it's just, it's so new and it's moving so fast that it's all just going through my mind right now to make sure that I'm not forgetting to mention anything to you guys. So, how did our first year go? So we're only 4 months into the program from when we received our cooperative agreement in October. And here we are in now beginning of February. And I think that things have moved really fast. We've accomplished a lot. Some things did have to change within our program. We were going, like I mentioned in the beginning, we were going to have three trainings that were going to be spread out through 2 years, which would incorporate training 60 participants total. But now that we had this meeting last week and we have commitments from employers to hire just about everybody in the program, as long as they qualify, of course, we have to change our program from 2 years to 4 months. So we plan on training the participants, 60 participants from March until approximately June, because the construction season will be starting in a few months, I'm sorry. And so we don't want to spread out the program too far where we lose the opportunity for them to get jobs that are ready right now. So we're in the process of doing that, and we'll be working very closely with our EPA PO officer as well to make sure that whatever amendments need to be made and approved by them for our program will be done in the correct manner. So we've been getting lots of interest from community groups as well. We've been working with our Green and Healthy Homes initiative group, various city departments, trainers, and employers as well. And in addition to our DEET program, I'm going to turn over DES to Jessica because they also have several other programs that we can leverage and add on to our training.
Yes. So, as I mentioned earlier, we do a lot of training. So right now, the biggest thing going on in Detroit is a lot of deconstruction and construction. So we actually have a construction deconstruction program that students can participate in. It's a 251-hour course through our local community college. So it kind of gives them a general idea of construction, welding. They do lead awareness in that piece. They get some technical math skills. They get job readiness. So it's a really robust training that's really geared towards making them a generalist. So that is something that could be layered onto the EPA requirements if a student is interested in going that far, because it is a longer track program. We also have registered apprenticeship programs for people who want to be carpenters, plumbers, electricians, construction workers, a lot heavily focused on skilled trades, because that is something that is really ramping up in the city. So we want to make sure that we are ahead of the curve and that we are training people, specifically with our Detroiters, so that when those jobs come down, there's a pool of talent in the city that contractors can pull from. Because all too commonly here, you know, there's not enough talent in Detroit, you know, not enough people are trained. So we want to make sure that we are training them so that that will not be a reason for Detroiters to be disenfranchised or to miss those opportunities. So we have a plethora of skilled trades training. So the construction deconstruction is a big one. Like I said, a carpenter, electrician, construction worker. There's quite a few on the menu.
All right, thanks, Jessica. So moving along, let's talk about, I just wanted to mention some of the positives and problems that were encountered. Currently, all of our problems are good problems. We haven't had any bad problems yet. For instance, like I just mentioned, now we're expediting our program, so our timing is changing drastically. Again, this was just as of last week when we had our first community advisory board meeting, and we were told how many jobs are available today. So we're just going to have to revamp the program. It's going to be the same program, but just from 2 years to 4 months, and just getting all that done. And then just some small modifications that we're going to have to make to meet the employer needs from some of our new partners who said they wanted to hire participants from our program. So we're going to have to revamp the budget just a little bit to incorporate asbestos surveyors as opposed to everyone getting trained in asbestos abatement. And another positive, there are several incentives for the employers to hire City of Detroit residents through our programs or City of Detroit residents in general. We have an Executive Order 2007-1, which states that any funding that's being provided through the City of Detroit, whoever's contracted will need to hire, their goal is 51% of the employees will be contracted by the city. And so, again, like Jessica mentioned, we received a lot of feedback in the past saying that there weren't enough residents that were qualified to do the work. So through the deep training, they will be qualified. And then in addition to that, HUD Section 3 also requires that bona fide, well, City of Detroit residents, where the funding is being used, of course, City of Detroit, that a certain amount of residents are hired from that city as well. So it'll help the consultants to meet those requirements for both programs, as well as, again, getting more exposure. As we do a lot of environmental work in addition to demo work, so consultants or environmental consultants will be looked at more favorably for those who hire our program participants. And then, Jessica, did you want to mention about some of the other incentives that are through the state of Michigan, like the
community ventures?
Yeah.
Sure. So there is a program that's a statewide initiative called Community Ventures. And basically it's just an economic development initiative to promote employment. And it focuses on four hard-hit areas in the state of Michigan, Detroit, Pontiac, Flint, and Saginaw. And basically what it does is gives companies who hire certain job seekers $5,000 over a 12-month period so they can bill MEDC, which is the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. They can bill them at $2,500 per quarter if they hire someone who either had lack of education, was at or below poverty levels, disabled, at risk, an ex-offender. So kind of hits on all the populations that the City of Detroit has. So that's another incentive. So as a new grantee, I would kind of suggest that you research and find out what incentives you can really find to layer on to get a lot more buy-in, to get employers really interested and excited about the program. So that's a good one. It's $5,000, and the only incentive is that they hire them at a wage of $10 an hour for at least 30 hours per week, and that is long-term. So that's basically, you know, after we do this program, that shouldn't be a hard threshold to meet. So that's basically a free $5,000 for an employer. Or if you look at it as a way to offset some of those wages, however the employer chooses to look at it, that's a great incentive for them to have. So that's a big one that Michigan has right now, is the Community Ventures program, as well as what Lorraine said about the 51% of the workers have to be Detroiters for new construction programs. So that's another one, too. So, again, we're really just trying to get and grow our talent in the City of Detroit. It's our main focus.
Okay. And then so where we are now,
We just submitted our first quarterly report, which sort of mirrored the work plan. And we also updated acres, which you will make sure you want to make sure that you have an acres profile, because that's expected of you from the EPA to update that quarterly as well. And I guess at this time, that's pretty much an overview of where we are, where we've been in the last 4 months, what the program consisted of, and we can take any questions.
I'll tell you, this is wonderful. Lorena, you're really fortunate to have such a good WIB. Jessica and you sound like a perfect partnership. And you're doing everything that a new grantee should be doing. You're working closely with the WIB, working closely with your employers. Your employers are guiding your program. Wow, you're going to be a star. It's a great program. Sounds great.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions of how they went about doing this? Comments? I'll tell you, it was great. And, you know, if you were to lay out a plan of what a new grantee should do, you hit everything right on. And you're letting your employers guide you. And I don't think it's by accident that you're going to have 100% placement rate, because you're really getting into City Hall. And more importantly, you're getting into the employers with the WIBs. Not every grantee is as fortunate as you to have such a good WIB.
Kathleen, mm-hmm. I have a question. Are any of your clientele ex-offenders, and do you direct for them that are not eligible for the job placement with any of the employers? How do you deal with your ex-offender applicants?
Well, hey, one more time. I missed a part of your question. I'm sorry.
How do you serve your ex-offenders? Are they eligible for the program, or do you have a redirection for them where they can get alternate training if they're unable to be hired by the employers?
Yes, we do have an ex-offender program, but we do have a strong network with our employers, so we really kind of promote more of the incentives to hiring an ex-offender. Again, that Community Ventures is a program that is specifically geared towards people such as ex-offenders. So really kind of once you inform an employer of the opportunities and what incentives there are, we found that there are more employers are willing to hire an ex-offender depending on what line of work it is. But if for some reason an employer did not want to take one of our participants, we do have other employers that have taken our ex-offenders. So it wouldn't be, you know, oh, well, we couldn't help you. We will find something else for them. We work diligently with all of our customers to really get them placed into something that they would both like, that they like, and the employers would be willing to take them as well. So we do have a pretty strong ex-offender program.
Okay, thank you.
And just to add on to that as well, following our meeting last week, we're also asking that all of the all the employers provide us with a job description, so we can let all the participants know exactly what they're getting into, mm-hmm. and then also what their requirements are. So if there is a company that doesn't hire ex-offenders, we'll know that ahead of time, so we know mm-hmm. how to plan for that. And then Jessica and through DSC can meet with them to let them know, hey, well, if you do, then this is what we can provide you.
Good deal.
It seems like your hardest problem is going to be bringing those several thousand people down to a class of 20. That's going to be tough to make sure, you know, it's the old input and output. So you've got to ration 20 seats. So you've got to get, and they're all deserving, so you've got to get the best 20 out of that several thousand. That's going to be a challenge, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the toughest part, is to whittle down to find the best candidates. But that's where those recruitment events kind of come in handy, to really find out. Because a lot of people say that they have an interest in something, and then you start telling them exactly what it entails.
kind of take themselves out of the equation, so that kind of helps us so we don't have to make that hard decision to say, no, this isn't the best fit, or, you know, maybe next time. They kind of just eliminate themselves. So that helps to some degree. Yeah, that is going to be probably one of the toughest parts, because a lot of Detroiters are wanting to get trained. They want the jobs now. And you really don't want to deny anyone the opportunity. So, you know, that may be one of our challenges going forward.
We're going to be talking about recruitment. In fact, maybe the next PLC on the 18th. Some people use tryouts. Almost the harder it is to get into the program through applications and tryouts sometimes gives you your best students, because we found from other grantees the most important characteristic isn't necessarily their academic ability, but it's their desire to finish that program. And it sounds like that'll be the real challenge that you're going to have. But if you get a bad class, it could make placement really difficult, and also retention. So, I'm sure you're going to do a good job, because you're right on to this point. You're doing a super job. It's great. Anything else? We've gone way over our time limit, but it's been such a good presentation. It was a perfect time to do this, and we really thank you for mentoring those of us on the line that are seeing what to expect, and some new things I didn't know about the SAMs. And thank you very much, Lorena and Jessica. And
thank you for having me.
Good luck. And
thank you.
Hopefully we'll see you all in 2 weeks on the 18th.
Right, and again, didn't you have to certify as a nonprofit, or you came in as the City of Detroit? Oh.
Oh, they may have hung up. They came in as City of Detroit.
As City of Detroit,
yeah.
Okay, because also along with the SAMs is you have to take that nonprofit certification now. So any listeners that are nonprofits, please be aware of that, to take that training so you'll be certified if indeed you applied this year.
Okay.
I'll send you information on the mic.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen, for joining in and giving us some ideas that we didn't have. I appreciate
it. Okay. Take care, all.
Go.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.